Hey, everybody, Rob here, getting you set up for this podcast. Going to do a quick phone call with Dan Giesling. Of course, we like to check in with him at the end of every Big Brother season, but Dan and his wife, they just had a baby, Desmond, and he's just a couple months old, so Dan hasn't been able to follow the season super close, but I still wanted to get a call in with him to talk about all of that. So that's what you're going to hear here on the podcast. Of course, just a quick word from the sponsor of today's podcast. Those are friends over at DraftKings, DraftKings.com. You don't need to come in first place to cash in over at DraftKings. Somebody's going to win a lot of money on Big Brother, but you could finish 800th in DraftKings, like somebody did in week one in the biggest fantasy football contest of the year, and they still got $100. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs, because DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. No season-long commitments. Just play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. It's super OTT. Renew old rivalries with family, friends, and coworkers to find out who the superior GM is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings is something for everyone. So don't wait. Go to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter promo code Rob to play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Rob to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob here with some very special finale coverage. That it's an annual tradition that right before we get to the Big Brother finale, we talk to this man, one of the Big Brother greats, who is not just a Big Brother legend, a Big Father legend now. Welcome back, great friend Dan Giesling. Dan, congratulations on baby Desmond.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm actually taking him for a walk right now, and you know, as a new father, I've learned to multitask, and I guess the walking Desmond and Rob has a podcast is just another example of that.
Yes.
Bad multitasking.
Well, Dan, congratulations on the new addition. I am sorry about your cousin-in-law who did not win the season.
That's crazy, huh? You know, my phone, it's, you know, there's always, I don't say always, but often at some point during a season, my phone will blow up, and I thought I'd get through this season without that happening. And then that happened, and the tradition continued, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Dan, how's the dad life? You and Chelsea getting some sleep?
Yeah, you know, he's actually really good. He sleeps throughout most of the night, which I know is like, you know, it's like such a rare thing, but it's great. I love it. I like to be a hands-on dad as much as possible, even though, you know, I have a lot going on. So really enjoying it, and, you know, it's such a blessing, and it's changed our lives, but it feels like it's normal, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's only crazier from here.
Yeah. You went from playing two-on-one defense to now you're man-to-man with two in your household.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Are you going to be outnumbered here pretty soon? Or
no, Dan, you never want to lose the numbers. You know that. You got to stay in the numbers.
Even if you're not in the numbers, there's always something you can do to, you know, you can call some outside help in. There's always a way out, Rob. Yeah. There's always a way out.
And Dan, did I also see recently that you went over 40,000 YouTube subscribers? Look at you.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, a lot of people, I guess, may or probably don't know, but I have a YouTube channel. Yeah, that's right, Desmond, I do. I do a lot of gaming in particular. I focus on a lot of space games. And a lot of people are like, well, Dan, why don't you just make a YouTube channel about Big Brother? But you know, I'm just very passionate about it, and it's been a lot of fun, and it was cool. I was telling my wife last night, we watched your video on Facebook.
Yes.
And, it was just cool to, you know, and I posted on your Facebook videos, like the behind the scenes, Robin's podcast tour. And, you know, it's just cool to see how far you've come.
Yeah.
You know, you've just kind of put your head down and been working consistently, and then look what you've done. It's really impressive.
Well, I know that you and I have a lot of the same mentors and role models in this digital content space. So I know you know how much hard work goes into all of this, and I'm glad to see that you are doing well as well. So, all right, so let's talk a little Big Brother here along the way. Now, I know we've been trading emails back and forth. I know you haven't been able to follow this season as closely as you have with everything going on between all of your work and baby Desmond along the way. So how much of BB8 18 have you been able to see?
Yeah, so to make up for my lack of watching, I'm just going to bring a lot of flair and a lot of truth on this shorter interview.
Yeah.
To make up for that. But, you know, so the extent of what's been going on, so, you know, I watched Big Brother up until Frank was evicted for a myriad of reasons. One, football started. Two, my son was born. And three, any free time I have, I spent working on my YouTube channels. But so really after there, I kind of trailed off just because, you know, as a new father, you got to make some tough choices. And fortunately, Big Brother was at the top of the list to cut. And I love the show. And I think, you know, to be honest, and this is not like disparaging against anyone on the cast, I think if it was more of an engaging season, and I don't mean that in the wrong way, but if it was something where I felt some sort of connection or I'm like, holy cow, this person's worth watching. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds bad, but it's honest. Like once Frank was gone, I'm like, okay, initially I was rooting for him to win, you know, or I thought he'd have a dark horse chance. And then it was interesting to see the unraveling of his game and how similar it was to season 14.
Yeah.
And then kind of once he, I went from rooting for him to rooting against him because you can't, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, he's the Chicago Bears on the Detroit Lions. As much you want to root for someone and, you know, you just can't. And so once he got voted out, then it was kind of like, all right, well, yeah, that's about the extent of my season. And I guess what I would say, I was just really shocked. I don't say shocked. I was surprised at the cast they brought back because I always feel like there's a wide range of people they could bring back that are clamoring for a second shot. And I feel like Frank was one of the four that I'm like, okay, this one makes sense. You know, he was a strong physical competitor. He was an underdog, went against the odds. You know, you're like, okay, it makes sense why Frank's here. But the other ones, not so much. And that's not to take away from their game, but I just didn't get it. You know, I didn't get the theme of what was the common theme between everyone they brought back, because I couldn't really find one.
No, it didn't really make any sense. Are you surprised that we have two of the returnees here in the final three? I know, obviously, that you made it back to the end in Big Brother 14, but it seems like that was sort of like that's a testament to how well you played to get to the end as a returnee. I don't feel like the people really talked about Nicole and James this season as people that we need to get rid of them because they've played before.
Yeah, and that's like, to go back to my point, is like you're in there and you're like, oh wow, Frank is clearly the most threatening out of the other three, and the other three, you almost don't remember their game or very much about their personalities. I remember Davon because she brought a lot of entertainment to the diary room, but the other two, like, I just didn't really remember much. And that's like, I know they're nice people, and you know, I'm sure they've adapted this season, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense. Why not bring like an Amanda back, who's going to elicit some sort of emotional response? Or, you know, there's just so many other people that they could have brought back that would have been a more interesting mix.
Well, do you get the sense that maybe that they were saving people for potentially some future All-Star season? And to put this in video game terms, that these were sort of like the mid-level bosses and they wanted to save all of like the real big bads for, or and big goods for, one big All-Star extravaganza?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but then why have Frank there? Because I wouldn't put Frank as a mid-level. I put it as someone as a guaranteed invite to All-Star. You know, so it's like, if they're bringing back people for a second shot who maybe, I don't know. I couldn't figure out why they brought the other three back. And I guess to this day, I don't know. What's like the common community theme about why those people were chosen?
I think it was just that they didn't want to waste any of the real big time All-Stars. And Frank was probably the one who was sort of like on the fence, where it's been a while. It's been a few years since Frank. I don't think he's necessarily like a no doubt All-Star player at this point in time. So I think that maybe they thought that they would bring him back and then that would solidify him for some sort of like heroes, villains, or legends type season in the future.
So you're saying like this was their move to just say, hey, in case you forgot about Frank, here he is, and he'll be back again for All-Stars.
Yeah, I think that they just didn't quite know what they were doing with this cast, especially when you throw in the siblings into the mix, where we brought back Cody's brother, of all people, and Vanessa's sister into the mix. It was a little bit of like a stew of, we don't know all these ingredients that are going to be in this, but let's just keep throwing stuff in there.
I was going to say, my biggest disappointment of the season that I did see was that seeing that Big Glenn got ousted early, because it's rare that you get an older house guest.
Yeah.
And then, like, I can't remember, he was over 50, right?
Yeah, I think so.
When's the last time we've even had someone over 50? I mean, I'm sure you can pull it, you or Taryn or the other guy can pull it out, but I mean, it's rare we ever get someone over 50, and then to see him bounce early, it's like, no.
Yeah.
Because those are the type of people that bring, like, a different type of dynamic that you and I couldn't even fathom, you know, because it's so rare that there's been an older person in the house.
Yeah, he's exactly 50.
Okay.
Yeah. So Dan, you made headlines this season earlier when you reported that Jerry was trying to get back into the mix. Is it possible that we will see Jerry on BBOTT?
I don't know. You know, I talked to him probably twice a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd called him, and it's every so often I'll get a tweet saying, like, people are like, tongue in cheek, hey, is Jerry still alive? So when I talk to him, you know, normally we check in and say, hey, you know, it's all really about family, and we'll talk a few things about the current season. But this is the first time I've talked to him, and he's like, look, I'm ready to go back. I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm in better shape than I was last time. I'm like, good for you, Jerry. I wouldn't want to go up against you again.
Yeah.
Now, actually, I'd love to go up against him again, but, you know.
Yeah. Wow, Dan, fatherhood has really made you, you're really shooting from the hip today.
Well, that's, I mean, like I said, I haven't watched a ton of the season, so at least I want to bring a different dynamic. Because normally I'm, you know, I want to say I'm well.
More measured. Yeah.
More measured. Yeah, more measured and more PR, mm-hmm. press
yeah.
savvy. You know, yes. But now it's like, all right, what, I've been out of the game for so long. Like,
yes.
I'm not going to hold back any opinion.
Dan, do you have a horse in this race between Nicole and James and Paul in ending up who wins on Wednesday night?
You know, I guess just from a personal standpoint, I don't know any of them personally. I've never, you know, sometimes you come into touch with some alumni house guests and that sort of thing. I'd love to see someone win and bring it back to Michigan again. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I guess part of me is like, you want the Paul to win because, look, it's his first time around, and he faced, from what I remember, he faced some adversity early. And it's kind of odd when I was thinking about it. And if you look back historically, a Big Brother, people that are in the heat early on, like week one, week two, and survive, for whatever reason, even if it's just serendipity or if it's just by chance, that person ends up going an extremely long way. And I think with Paul, he was able to weather the storm, and to see him still standing. Yeah, I think what I like about him, or what I did like about him, is that he understood it was a show, and whether you thought he was corny or cheesy, he still tried to make it entertaining, and I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, I think he was a lot of fun to watch, more so than the other two. Now, James has really been having his heart set, I think, on winning this America's Favorite Player. Do you have a strong feeling on whether or not Big Brother should even have an America's Favorite Player? Because I would say that the argument against it is, does it force people into trying to play to the cameras too much and less likely to make a big move for fear that they might end up pissing people off in the audience?
Well, like, and that's the thing, you know, early on, it's like, all right, James is pulling some pranks off. Cool. It's funny. First time, still funny. The second time, third time, it's like, is this still going on? Fourth time is like, are we really watching this on a main segment? You know, but part of, you know, to his credit, he understood his role, or at least understood what production liked about him. And as an individual on the show, you can't help but think about that, because you want to hedge your bets. Look, you know, at the end of the day, there's an element of Big Brother that's an extreme crapshoot. So if at least you can hedge your bets by what the producers, what you think the producers want, or what you think America wants, at least you don't waste your entire summer and not bring home any money to your family, or, you know, any money for your time.
Yeah. Dan, are you excited for the BBOTT? Is there any chance that the off TV format could lure you back in over these next couple of months?
Probably not. What will lure me back in is a true all-star season.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no chance if I see, you know, any number of people, whether I rooted for them or against them, there's no way I wouldn't watch that season. But in terms of this online season, I think it's smart. I mean, I think it's, CBS has been somewhat agile and adaptive towards, you know, this new media wave. I believe they were one of the first major networks to, you know, have, you know, the direct subscription service. And I think this is another way to keep people on, because for people that don't remember back in the day when Big Brother used to farm out their live feeds, you know, from what I heard through the grapevine when I was involved and out at Real Player, we're talking in like the millions and millions and millions of dollars that was generated through the live feeds.
Yeah.
You know, and so for them to just say, hey, well, we like it during the summer, why don't we keep it running all year long? And that's the thing I think some people forget, is that Big Brother isn't necessarily an expensive show to produce. You're not paying actors. You know, I mean, you have to redecorate a set, but for the most part, you don't really have that many cameramen. You know, it's a relatively cheap show to produce. So like when people say, when do you think Big Brother is going to go away? I really don't think it's going to go away, because they make so much money on it.
They built a house that prints money.
Yeah. And there's no competition for it in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see in the fall, but I do know as much as I can say. I know there's people that I've talked to that may have been approached about the online season and didn't do it because it's such a crapshoot and, you know, they don't want to do it in that format.
First time players or cousin-in-laws of yours or returning players?
I don't want to say any more than that, but I know people that, how can I say it? I know people were not interested because they didn't want to give up certain things to roll the dice on an online season.
Yeah, it could go either way. I think that you're probably going to get more people who are just big fans who would play it anytime who are going to be on this upcoming season. Are you concerned at all that they've said that they're going to make it the most interactive season ever? Or as a video gamer, do you like that?
I think, you know, my prediction is outside of season 20 being an all-star season, I think this will probably be the most unique cast because I think they can take some chances, right? Maybe they put a few more older people in the house because, look, it doesn't have to be a demographic home run, you know? So I think it could end up being a really big surprise based on the cast. But I just think from a numbers standpoint, I don't know that it needs to do huge numbers for them to be satisfied with it. But I just don't think it's ever going to stack up against, you know, the flagship series.
Was there anything that you saw from Frank's game this season that you thought was maybe something he learned after season 14?
That was another big shock for me. And, you know, I went from rooting for Frank because I thought he would have learned something to then rooting against him because people are tweeting me saying, hey, Frank's talking crap about you. And then after the season, Frank had called me and, you know, it just kind of decompressed again. But, you know, I just thought he had been exposed to so much in his first season and so many different styles of play. And, you know, he made some mistakes, but still was able to stay alive in the game. And then to see him do the exact same thing or very similar, just kind of disheartening because I think if you take Frank's ability, you know, his physical ability, and you match it up with some sort of social control, I think he would be a devastating player. But at the same time, I guess, is it asking, like, you know, a bull to stop running through a red cape? You know, it's just not going to happen. Like, players are who they are. And I think the better ones are adaptable. And that's not anything against Frank. I just thought he would do something different, you know, like not win competitions, maybe act like he was a little bit older and not as agile. And he did the same thing. And, you know, in Big Brother, you can't really do the exact same thing and expect different results.
Dan, I felt like they threw him such a bone with this roadkill where it was like, here's a competition you could win every single week, Frank, and you don't have to tell anybody. It was like you could have won every single one of them and you didn't have to tell anybody, and he was winning them and then telling everybody he won them.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, for me, it's like a perfectly orchestrated chaos every single week. Like, you win the thing and you can frame other people for doing it. As long as no one ever knows you win, just the mileage you can get out of that, that's how I looked at it. And then to see him tell someone, it's like, why would you ever do that? People are already targeting you because you are who you are, you know? But I agree with you. I think, you know, and I think that's a great thing about production. The producers, whether you like them or not, they do things to protect their assets in a certain way, not in a way that's against the game because it's fair for everyone, but they give the people who maybe go in with a disadvantage a chance to rectify that or a chance to balance that out. Not a guaranteed chance, but there's tools within the game that allow you to do that. And I think that's a cool way that the producers do try to balance things out, because it's not exactly, you know, if I'm Frank going into that house, I'm thinking I'm gone week one, unless you do something different. So,
all right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming on with us. I know we're never getting you back in that house now that you've got so much going on. You've got baby Desmond at home, right? That's it. We give up the dream, people.
Yeah, no, fatherhood's great. And, you know, power to the people that I guess that, you know, have had kids and been able to leave them. I just, you know, I love fatherhood so much. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, and this is, I guess, what I wanted to share. It takes a long time to get back to your true normal life after Big Brother. And even the second time I played, I'm like, oh, I already done this once before. It takes a couple years to truly, like, unwind, get your life back together. Like, I'm back coaching football. You know, I'm running my YouTube channel. Business is great. My family's great. And then when you remove yourself from that for 3 months, you know, it's not, you don't just come back in stride. And I think that's where, you know, people like Frank, you know, it's his second time, but he's got to decompress. And that's where I like helping people come off the show because, you know, it's not easy. And I think to do that with a kid, it takes a tremendous amount of fortitude. And I could never do that.
What, did you reach out to Frank to help him after he came out?
No, he called me and I was kind of surprised, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's like a friendly rivalry. You know, it's like the Mets and the Yankees, but when they sit down in the winter, you know, they have a cup of coffee and talk about it. So, you know, anything I can do to help.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. You've completed the transformation. You went from Daniel San to now Mr. Miyagi. Now you're the teacher now.
Yeah. And I think it's a good time to, you know, I debated whether or not to say this, but I think there's eras in Big Brother. And I think there was like an early era. There was like, you know, you don't want to, and I'm not calling myself one way or another, but I think you have like a Wilt Chamberlain era, you have a Jordan era, and you have a Kobe and LeBron era. And I think we're in that third era where those people can play and enjoy the game as it is, because it's different each era.
Dan Gieseling, thank you so much, Dan, for making some time to come on and talk with us. Of course, even if you don't care about video games, follow up with Dan and see what he's up to. All right.
Yeah, you guys can check out the channel at youtube.com/Dan Gieseling. But Rob, as always, like, you know, I feel like every time I talk to you every year, you're just doing more and more things, and your company, or I guess you can call it empire now, has grown.
No.
And it's continued success to you, Robert.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And I can't believe it's been, 4 years since we've been doing this. Wait, I guess. So
it's been more than 4 years, because you did that fishbowl stuff that you like to sweep under the carpet.
Back before you even played Big Brother. Sure. I'm just saying, yeah. and talking to you, we've talked about at the end of the season, 15, 16, 17, and now 18.
Yeah. How long has rap been a thing, or Rob has a podcast?
Like, 2010 we started. Yeah.
But then you had fishbowl before that, which was.
Yeah. That was, I was doing that in like 2004. So yeah, a long time, Dan. You're a Gen Xer like me.
I can't wait to see where you're at next year, Robert.
Yeah, probably dead, Dan. No. All right. Well, thanks, Dan. Thank you so much. Always great to talk to you. Dan's on Twitter, at Dan Gieseling. And Dan, all the best to you and Chelsea and baby Desmond, okay?
Thanks. Same to you, Rob.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Dan Gieseling. I reached out to Dan. I was like, hey, can you come on and talk some BB18 with me? And he's like, I haven't followed it closely, but let's talk about it. I'm happy to come on. So I really appreciate Dan making some time to get into this stuff right before the finale. All right. So hope you guys enjoyed the finale, and we'll see if it will be either friendship or pissed coming out of the BB18 finale on Wednesday night. Of course, I'm going to go there and be there live in the backyard. I will have video interviews and podcast interviews with all of the house guests that are back there. Look for that on Rob Hazel podcast coming up on Wednesday night into Thursday. But for you guys who are watching the show live, Jordan Parhar will anchor our finale coverage with the live feed correspondence. That's going to be kicking off on robhazelwebsite.com at 11:15. That's going to be a Rob Hazel podcast show, and that'll be in your Rob Hazel podcast feed, robhazelwebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe to that. Plus, we're going to have our Survivor Know-It-Alls as well after the Survivor premiere, which is going to be at the same time as the Big Brother finale. Very busy Wednesday night. Tyson Apostle is going to be joining Stephen Fishback for the Survivor Know-It-Alls. That's going to be, again, on Wednesday night at 9:45. Podcast to follow imminently in your podcast feed. And then I will be on Thursday with the first person kicked off of Survivor. Plus, we're going to have Michelle Fitzgerald to talk about the premiere on the recap with me. Voicemails with Kurt Clark. Plus, I'm also going to do a podcast on Wednesday afternoon, sort of a wrap-out special for BB18, where I'll take your questions and emails and all sorts of stuff like that. So bigbrother@robhazelwebsite.com is that email address if you want to send me your thoughts about the finale once we get there. And if you want to check out that video that Dan Gieseling is talking about that we ended up posting, we just posted it on my Patreon page. You can go to robhazelwebsite.com/patron if you want to check out that behind the scenes video of everything that we do here at the podcast. So hope you're doing good. Hope you enjoyed this little short chat with Dan Gieseling. Love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments as usual, and enjoy the finale Wednesday night. Take care, everybody. Bye.